Highland Falls, El Paso, Clarksville, Watertown, and from other important military capitals around the globe. Eye on Defense brings the top military and defense issues into focus. Eye on Defense is proudly sponsored by Big Sarge Pre-Owned TA-50 Emporium and The Last Hope Jewelry and Pawn. And now, citizens of Earth, brace yourselves for the next episode of Eye on Defense. 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 Defense.
All right, we're back, everybody. Welcome to the show. Today is 27 September. Quite a bit of stuff to get to today. We're going to talk about Defense Security Cooperation release. There was a press brief today and some sort of direct energy weapons we'll go over. So I guess we'll just start off with the Twitter. We're on Twitter. Twitter handle is @defense_podcast. If you can find the time, check us out. I said it before. I guess I'll say it again. If you like the podcast, you probably like the Twitter. So if you find the time, check us out. And we'll just get started. Defense Security Cooperation Agency website, they put out a press release today dated 27 September. It concerns Kuwait, and the title is Kuwait M1A2 Tank Operational and Training Ammunition. State Department has made a determination approving a possible foreign military sale to the government of Kuwait of M1A2 Kilo Tank Operational and Training Ammunition and related equipment for an estimated cost of $250 million. Let's see. The government of Kuwait has requested to buy basically a bunch of ammo, 7.62 ammo, 50 cal ammo, 120 millimeter ammo. Grenade screening, smoke containers, munitions, support and test equipment, integration and test support, spare and repair parts. Of course, government and contractor engineering, technical logistics support services, and other elements of logistic and program support, estimated cost of $250 million. Let's see. This proposed sale will support the foreign policy and national security objectives of the United States by helping to improve the security of a major non-NATO ally. Let's see what else. The proposed sale will improve Kuwait's ability to meet current and future regional threats by enabling continued employment of the M1A2 Abrams main battle tank and supporting modernization of the country's tank fleet. The sale will provide an ability to deter and defend against land-based threats, enhancing Kuwait's ability to protect border regions and key land-based infrastructure. And it says, Kuwait will have no problem absorbing this equipment into its armed forces. Primary contract is General Dynamics, York, PA. So that's pretty much it. I didn't want to read line by line of the ammunition they're getting. If you want to check it out, it's DSCA.mil press. So that's it for that. And while we're talking about DOD and press releases, you know, we always talk about maintenance. We've done a story on the Common Tactical Truck. Still haven't forgot that. You know, Water Buffalo or Water Bison, whatever you want to call it. And one of the immediate releases from the DOD was on 26 September, which was yesterday. DOD announces 2022 Secretary of Defense Maintenance Award winner. So we might as well do, you know, call these, give some credit for where credit's due. We talk about logistics and maintenance and how important it is for any military force. So it's good that the DOD has these awards. They've got awards for software maintenance. I'm not going to get in. Excuse me. I'm not going to get into that. Pardon me, I gotta drink some water. Sorry about that. And then they have some, I'm not gonna call that one out. I'll call this one out to see Sustainment Training Advice and Assistance for Foreign Military Forces Award. This award recognizes teams or organizations that have excelled at providing training, advice, and assistance to militaries of developing countries as part of U.S. foreign policy goals. The operational category winner of this year's award is the 551st Inland Cargo Transfer Company from Camp Carroll, South Korea. And that's true. I don't want to go too much into it, but in my experience, when you work with other armies, you know, everybody kind of knows how to shoot, move, and communicate. I mean, that's kind of easy to teach. I mean, it's hard to do in, in practice, but it's kind of easy to teach. I think what a lot of developing militaries want is they want to know how to order spare parts. They want to know how to fix their equipment, logistics, sustainment. That's what's important. And so this unit here, the 551st Inland Cargo Transfer Company, they just won an award for being able to assist foreign military forces and teach what they know. And that's very important. So moving on, there were 6 award winners in 3 different categories, large, medium, and small. These are actually units. And the small unit category winners are Engineer Support Division, Marine Corps Air Ground Task Force, Training Command 29 Palms, California, and Strike Fighter Squadron 147, Naval Air Station, Lemoore, California. The medium category winners were the USS Winston Churchill, Mayport, Florida, Naval Station Mayport, Florida. I think that's Jacksonville. And the 40th Aircraft Maintenance Squadron, RAF, Lakeheath, United Kingdom. And then the large winners were 2nd Battalion Assault, 2nd Aviation Regiment, K-16 Air Base, Korea, and the Trident Refit Facility, Kings Bay, Georgia. Is there a better sounding unit than the 2nd Battalion, 2nd Aviation Regiment, 2-2 Aviation? Any regiment that's 10 or under is okay in my book. I'll even go 20 and under. If you have a regiment that's 10 and under, it's been around a while. So anyway, from those 6 field winners, one will be selected as this year's recipient of the highly coveted Phoenix Award. So out of those 6 I just mentioned, there can be only one. And they're going to announce that at DoD Maintenance Awards Banquet in December. And that's on December 13th in Orlando, Florida. So anyway, we support maintenance here. We love maintenance. It's what makes the Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines move. So I kind of like doing that. Maybe we'll do that again next time. All right, let me pause there 1 second. Okay, on the press brief. Okay, there's a press brief today, September 27th, by Brigadier General Pat Ryder, who we know who he is. Let's see, he starts off saying, hello, everybody, blah, blah, blah. Secretary Austin, he kind of gives the itinerary of the secretary. Of course, Lloyd Austin, he's going to California, Hawaii. California's going to meet sailors and Marines at a naval base and a Marine Corps Air Station. Then he's going to go to Hawaii and meet some allies from Philippines, Japan, Australia. And then he's going to talk to Rear Admiral John Wade, who's got this task force, Joint Task Force Red Hill, which is, I really haven't followed it much. I know that they got a fuel problem out there. I don't know if it's getting in the drinking water. Like I said, I'm not qualified to talk about it, but he's checking on it. And then let's see what else. General Ryder talked about, you know, the hurricane down in Florida. National Guard is, you know, getting their stuff together. Hurricane Ian. FEMA's doing this and that with the DOD support. DOD has named some installations that are going to support as like staging bases. There's one in Alabama, Maxwell Air Force Base, Alabama, Moody Air Force Base, Georgia, Warner Robins Air Force Base, Georgia, Marine Corps Logistics Base, Albany, also in Georgia. And let's see. Then he gets some questions. There are a lot of good questions. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this. Let's see. Talked about PDA, Presidential Drawdown Authority. That was a very good question. Again, it's really hard to tell who asked these questions. But there's $2.275 billion in Presidential Drawdown Authority money, and it expires on 30 September. So we might see some action on that money here soon. Or maybe I think the White House wants to, I don't know if they can or not, push it to another fiscal year. I think he can ask the president. I don't know if he can get it, though. Anyway, I'm not an expert on the budget. Let's see what else. There was a good question about U.S. forces in Korea. And if there's a problem between Taiwan and China and the U.S. gets involved, will U.S. forces Korea get involved? Let's see. Here's a question. Because many experts from the Korean Peninsula and also USFK, which means U.S. Forces Korea, Four-Star Command in Korea, USFK commanders in the United States, former USFK commanders in the United States, saying if anything happens between China and Taiwan, there will be USFK involvement. And, of course, General Ryder sidestepped that one wisely, saying, I'm not going to speculate on hypotheticals. Moving on. Something about nukes and tactical nuclear nukes by Russian military units. He doesn't want to go in the intelligence. Here's a good question from someone named Tony. I think it's the same guy that asked this question a couple of events ago, talking about NASAMS. And he says, hey, when's the NASAMS going to get delivered? Back in August, you said it was going to take 2 or 3 months. And then General Ryder says, yep, just to clarify, the United States has not delivered NASAMS to Ukraine at this stage. We expect the first two systems to be delivered within the next 2 months or so. And the guy's like, 2 months? He goes, yeah, 2 months or so, right? And then the remaining six that are going to come from, you don't have a date, but those will be longer term. And then this guy says, well, because of the contract when it came out in August, talking about for the other six, said it would be completed by August of 2024, implying 2 years. And he says, well, there's nothing. And then General Ryder says, nothing's changed. Remember, there's two tranches of NASAMS we're talking here. And he says, nope, they're going to come from, the question is, are they coming from U.S. stocks? And then General Ryder says, no, they are being produced by industry, as I understand it. And I kind of looked it up back in August. I think this guy asked the same question, and General Ryder gave him the same answer, that they're going to be produced by industry, not from U.S. stocks. All right, moving on. Let's see. There's some stuff about Turkey in there. I don't want to get into that. Red Hill, I don't want to get into that. A lot of stuff on Ukraine. Somebody said, have you seen the Iranian drones in Ukraine used by the Russians? And I think, let me try to find that. I think he says, yeah, I think we've seen them, and they're using them as you'd expect, basically as ISR and targeting. They talk about mobilization. I don't want to get into that. It was a decent question. All right, then, the U.S. Coast Guard has announced they have spotted a Chinese and Russian ship off the coast of Alaska. I'm curious what DOD is seeing on that front. And he says, and the General Ryder says, we've seen Russia and China sail together before. So my understanding is those sailings are sailing in international waters, so there's no issue there. You can talk to the Coast Guard for more. I mean, earlier they talked about how the United States and South Korea is sailing together. So two allies sailing together in international waters, Russia and China sailing together in international waters. What can you say? Again, I don't want to get into all that, you know, global politics. Let's see, moving on. A lot of stuff on Ukraine. I don't want to get into it. And that's pretty much it. So a lot better questions today. Not a lot of answers as usual, but better questions. And so that wasn't a waste of time. I think the last one I did, I rambled on for 10 minutes about nothing. So this seemed a little better to me. Anyway, I'll pause there. Okay, so I got three stories on. I've been keeping an eye on this for a couple of weeks, and I've been wanting to do it, and I haven't. And I'm kind of glad because it's about high energy lasers. We talked about this back in August with the DEM SHORAD, the Direct Energy Maneuver SHORAD, Short Range Air Defense. And wait 1 second. Yeah, and that was a story from 10 August of this year from Andrew Everston. And we talked about a 50 kilowatt laser that they're going to put on a Stryker vehicle. The Army's going to put it on a Stryker vehicle. And this is happening, you know, like next month. It's going to happen down at Fort Sill, Oklahoma. The 50 kilowatt laser is supposed to defend soldiers against drones from UAS's group one, which is about 20 pounds, up to group three, which is about 20 pounds. In addition to rockets, mortars, and artillery. So 50 kilowatt laser on a Stryker. And then later in that article from August from Andrew Everson, they talked about a 20 kilowatt laser. They call it the AMP Hell, which is Army Multipurpose High Energy Laser, which is a 20 kilowatt laser. They want to put on the ISV, the infantry squad vehicle. And that's going to be more limited than the Stryker, which was a 50. And this one can only defend against a Group 1 and Group 2 UASs. And soldiers will still be vulnerable to Group 3 drones, which are the bigger ones, and rockets and rockets, artillery, and mortars, whereas the 50 kilowatt on the Stryker could defend against those. And that's called the AMP Hell, Army Multi-Purpose High Energy Laser, to be delivered in FY23. And based upon our acronym scale that I invented last week, AMP Hell, I call that a 1 on the acronym scale. Of course, 1 is really terrible, 2 is adequate, and 3 is commendable. So AMP Hell is horrible. So that's, you get a 1 on that. Now the DEM SHORAD, that's a 2. That's a solid 2. It's adequate. But anyway, so that's the first story. We talked about a month ago, and I'm talking about it now. And the second one is from, also from Andrew Everson, Breaking Defense, of course. And this was from 16 September. This is the second one I had my eye on. And it's called Lockheed Martin Delivers a 300-kilowatt laser to the Defense Department. A 300-kilowatt laser. The new laser will take part in the Army demonstration of its indirect fires capability high-energy laser later this year. And there's a picture of it from Breaking Defense. And it looks like a HIMET with a big box on the back of it. The HIMET's got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It's got 10 tires and a giant box and a laser beam coming out of it. And a soldier looks like he's trying to stay the heck out of the way. Of course, it's Lockheed Martin. It really doesn't say if Lockheed Martin's involved in the 50 and the 20 for the Stryker and the ISV. I assume it is. But this one, the 300-kilowatt laser, is by Lockheed Martin. And just to catch everybody up on what the indirect fires protection capability is, that's one of the Army modernization priorities. Remember, there's 6 of them, 6 plus 2, I call them. The 6 are long-range precision fires, next-generation combat vehicle, future vertical lift, network, air missile defense, and soldier lethality. So this is on priority number 5, air missile defense. This is run out of the cross-functional team. What's the name of those guys? Cross-functional team. Where is it at? CFT Air and Missile Defense, and they're out of Fort Sill, Oklahoma. And their efforts are Army Integrated Air and Missile Defense, Maneuver Short-Range Air Defense, MSHORAD, we just talked about it a second ago, Lower Tier Air and Missile Defense Sensor, and then the Indirect Fire Protection Capability, which is this effort that this 300-kilowatt laser is related to. You got to kind of get a little bit of backstory on this Indirect Fire Protection Capability. One of the increments, and you can go to the Army website and look at this, it's asc.army.mil. The description is Indirect Fire Capability in Increment 2. You know, I guess these things are in increments. It's a mobile ground-based weapon system designed to defeat unmanned aircraft systems and cruise missiles. So Block 1 will have an existing interceptor, which I assume will be a Patriot, a sensor, and will use a multi-mission launcher on existing vehicle platform to support counter-UAS and cruise missile defense. So in this increment, or block, from the Army website, this is a couple years old, you can just tell. There looks like they're using a Patriot, because they say an existing interceptor. Now, this thing that we're talking about now, this 300-kilowatt laser, it looks like it's still part of that program, the Indirect Fires Protection Capability, but it looks like they're going to use a high-energy laser instead of an interceptor, Patriot. Anyway, that's just a little bit of background. Let me go on with the article here. Yeah, like I said, this is from Andrew Everson. Lockheed Martin announced today would be 16 September, that it delivered a 300-kilowatt laser to DOD, which will integrate it into the Army high-energy laser demonstration later this year. Okay, this defense giant developed the laser under the Pentagon's High-Energy Laser Scaling Initiative, HLSI, HELSI. And I give that, while we're on the subject, I give that on a 2. That's an adequate acronym. Let's see, moving on. Now, to me, this is like science fiction, so I'm going to read a little bit of it and not understand nothing, but maybe somebody out there understands it. So the Pentagon selected Lockheed in 2019 to scale its spectral beam combined high-energy laser architecture to the 300-kilowatt class level. Lockheed Martin increased the power and efficiency and reduced the weight and volume of continuous wave high-energy lasers, which reduces risk for future fielding efforts of high-power energy, high-power laser weapon systems. I guess they're trying to make it where you can put this thing, tactically use it instead of using it in a laboratory. You're going to have to use it out in the field, and I think that's what they're trying to do. The Department of Defense has particular interest in direct energy systems, high-energy lasers, and high-power microwave to protect military personnel and installations from aerial threats, including short-range air defense against drones, rockets, mortar, and artillery. Of course, we've already seen this with two other systems, the 20-kilowatt with the ISV and the 50-kilowatt with the Stryker. Okay, according to the release, the laser will support demonstrations of the Army indirect fires capability high-energy laser, which is scheduled for lab and field testing this year. And I don't want to tell you what that acronym looks like. Of course, well, I just told you it's one of the 35 modernization priorities. It's actually one of the big six. But it doesn't fall under the cross-functional team out of Fort Sill. It actually falls under the Rapid Capabilities and Critical Technologies Office, RCCTO, which is out of Redstone Arsenal, I do believe. Moving right along. And that's pretty much it. It goes on to a bunch of stuff that I don't understand. Long story short, if you're keeping up, 50 kilowatt on a Stryker, 20 kilowatt on a ISV, and now they're building they're trying to work a 300 kilowatt for air defense, basically. Air and missile defense, I'm sorry. All right, and then there's one more article. So that'd be 1, 2, 3. This is the fourth program. And this article is just from today. How am I doing on time? 22, I'm all right. This is, again, from Breaking Defense. All these are from Breaking Defense, my go-to site. This is from Valerie and Senna. We've done stories from her before. This is AFSOC AC-130J gunship to fire laser weapon in flight tests in 2023. Flight demos will take place in the summer or fall of 23, but remains unclear whether development will turn into a bona fide program of record. So now they're sticking one of these high-energy lasers on an airplane. And this one is 60 watts. So where's the article? Okay, so Air Force AFSOC, Air Force Special Operations Command, because I think they use the AC-130 gunship, will test an airborne laser in flight in 2023. This is a year later than planned. Flying demonstration of Lockheed Martin. Again, Lockheed Martin. I think they're involved in all this. Lockheed Martin's airborne high-energy laser will be integrated on a AC-130 Ghost Rider. Will start in summer of 23 and run through the fall, said an AFSOC spokeswoman. This is where it gets kind of funny. Results of the testing will determine future operational usage. At this time, there is no concept employment developed for the high-energy laser. Remember that, because we're going to get to it in just a second. Okay, Lockheed delivered the 60-watt laser to AFSOC in October 21 after completing factory acceptance testing. And then at that point, flight demonstrations were slated to occur in 2022. Let's see, where is it at? Okay, mounting a direct energy weapon on an AC-130J gunship has been a perennial but somewhat elusive goal for AFSOC for almost a decade. It goes into what the Ghost Rider, the C-130 gunship has, which is a 30mm and 105 cannon. It can fire precision-guided munitions. But a high-energy laser would provide AFSOC with a way to shoot down missiles or disable enemy electronics clandestinely, as enemy forces would be unable to see the laser as it beams from the gunship. So earlier in the article, she says there's no concept of operational employment developed. But then later in the article, they say we want to, you know, shoot down missiles or disable enemy electronics clandestinely. That sounds like a decent concept. So maybe you already got one there. I just helped you out. Let's see. Former AFSOC commander said in 2015 he expected this technology to be available by the end of the decade. He missed it by 2 years so far, maybe 3. This is not Star Wars stuff. This technology is ripe, blah, blah, blah. Okay, Lockheed Martin was awarded the contract to integrate the AHEL with the AC-130 in January of 19, but the ultimate future of the program is unclear. AFSOC requested $16 million in FY23 to continue laser integration on board the AC-130J, a boost of $4 million above 22 levels. Let's see what else. That's pretty much it. So they're going to work on it next year. What does AHEL mean again? They just told us. Let me find it. Airborne High Energy Laser, AHEL, Airborne High Energy Laser. I'm going to give that a 2 on the acronym scale, adequate. So anyway, we're doing good. No goofy acronyms so far. All right, so that's pretty much it. That's all I wanted to talk about. As you can tell, I struggled through some of this direct energy stuff, but I'm smart enough to understand that a 20-watt laser can shoot down UAS's class 1 and 2. A 50-kilowatt can shoot down 1, 2, and 3 and rockets and mortars. A 60-kilowatt is probably a little bit better than the 50. I mean, my second-grade elementary school taught me numbers, so I understand that. Good grief what a 300 could do. I guess cruise missiles is what they're shooting for. That's pretty much it. 26 minutes and 23 seconds. I'm not going to give another Twitter plug. I guess I just did. That's pretty much it. Episode 54, I think. Yeah, episode 54. I was going to do a story on the S-Fabs. It's a really good story on the S-Fabs. I think I'll do that next week, if I can remember. Or next episode, I'll do the story on the S-Fabs. And kind of a follow-up, I looked at the patches for the multi-domain task force. We talked about last episode. Third multi-domain task force was established down at Fort Shafter, Hawaii. I don't know if they're going to be at Fort Shafter. Are they going to be at Schofield? Anyway, they established them at Fort Shafter. Not a lot of room down at Fort Shafter. But I was wondering what patch you're going to wear. And I did some digging, and I found on the Heraldry site there is a patch for the first SFAB. SFAB, man, what am I doing? Multi-Domain Task Force. The first one's up at Lewis. They have their own patch. And it looks kind of cool. It's all right. It's got the five stars on it, which stands for, you know, the five domains, air, sea, land, cyber, space. Did I miss one? Air, sea, land, cyber, space. No, I got them all. So I assume that all, there's three multi-domain task force now. I assume they will all wear that patch. But I did see a photograph of the second, the one in Germany, and they were wearing, looked like the U.S. Army Europe and Africa patch. So who knows? If I can find it again, maybe I'll put that on Twitter. But anyway, that's pretty much it. Episode 54 in the books. Hopefully you enjoyed this episode. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for all the support. So that's pretty much it. Episode 54 in the books. Thank you and good night.